Our perseverance actually causes God to be patient. And I never really thought about it that way. And Kevin, that was a great point. I really took that to heart. And one of the things that Noah did, Noah's job was never to judge the earth, but to build an ark for a door to save the earth. And God can use one family. And he used Noah's family to be able to preserve for you and I, mankind. Matthew says, but concerning that day and hour, no one knows, not even the angels, when the Son is coming, but the Father only. For as were in the days of Noah, so will be the coming of the Son of Man. When you think of today's environment that we live in right now, there's a lot of evil going on. So is Jesus coming back soon? Are we ready to be able to be here when he comes for us? And I think that was a great question that Kevin brought. And, you know, I really loved this series because it related to me personally because of family and because of what, you know, all the stories that I grew up hearing. And so I've always, you know, I don't know about Mike Tyson, as Kevin talked about earlier, about him biting off part of his ear, but, you know, it takes perseverance to be able to make it to the final bell. And that encouragement for all of us to be ready when Jesus comes back. Ross?
Hey, I'm Ross. I'm one of the elders here at the church. And this past week when I was going back through the sermons and listening, I realized that the first three sermons that Jim taught on all had a common theme. The ways that the devil tries to separate us from God, they all started with the letter D. There's division, there's deception, and then there's distraction. Well, you know, with division, he wants us separated so we're weak. Then there's deception, where he wants us to believe things that aren't true. And then there's distraction, which really affects my life with my relationship with God far more than the other two. Jim had this verse, 1 John 5:21. Dear children, always, always keep away from things that might take the place of God in your heart. Jim talked a lot about media in this sermon. How it consumes our life, how it controls us. If it goes with Facebook, YouTube, watching Netflix, so on. How I relate to this is sometimes I like to tell hunting analogies, not analogies, but just preferences. And this is the way I look at it. Imagine sitting in a deer stand. You're quiet, you're still, you're anxious waiting for a deer to come by, and you hear a noise. So you sit still, you peek around the tree to see what it is, and it's a squirrel, the distraction. So you turn back around, you relax, you're ready, some time goes by, and you hear the noise again. You sit there still, you peek around the tree, and it's that same old squirrel. You're like, man. So you turn around, get comfortable in your chair, and you hear the noise again. Except for this time, you're not still and quiet, and you don't peep around the tree, you just whip around and look, and there he is, the buck you've been waiting for. But by then, it's too late. He sees you, and he's gone. Media is my squirrel. To me, it keeps me, you know, it keeps me from my purpose with God. I get caught up in watching YouTube and Netflix for hours, but it's hard for me to read a 10-minute devotional or my Bible. Jim also mentions in this sermon that we're probably the most Bible-literate generation that's ever been, which is probably true. I believe it has a lot to do with our distractions in life. There's so much more media out there to consume your day-to-day just being itself. But the biggest takeaway I got from this is that I need to seek God. And if we were all to do this, we would all come together, we would all know the truth, and it would all be focused on the way that we need to go.
Thank you. I don't have a segue to that video. I didn't know what was going to be shown. So, yeah. So, similar to Ross, what resonated with me, sorry, this sounds loud already. Okay. And what also challenged me was that sermon on the sucker punch of distraction. And so we talked about how busy life could be, whether it's work, family projects, hobbies, all those different things. For me personally, when I have a full day of those type of activities, sometimes at the end of the day, it's easy for me to check out. It's easy for me to maybe focus on things that aren't as important. And on certain days, it may just leave enough time just to eat and sleep. And so, as staying in that sermon, we can be so busy that we forget God's plan and purpose. And this is where the devil wants us, to be so distracted that we forget God's plan and purpose. I also kind of compared the sucker punch to also kind of like a jab or a body punch. It's not that knockout, uppercut punch, but it's those punches that kind of wear at you, kind of make you vulnerable over time. So for me personally, I have to be deliberate in dedicating time in seeking and serving to avoid this situation. And kind of going with that boxing analogy, it's a conditioning, where instead of conditioning your body, you're conditioning your mind, you're conditioning your spirit for what's to come. So I was reading recently in 2 Chronicles on King Asa, king of Judah. And in that, he started out well. And the Bible says he did everything that was good and pleasing to God. If you've read through Samuel and Chronicles, it goes through each king. And some did well, some didn't. Some did good. They tore down the Asherah poles, but they didn't tear down the shrines, if you recall that. But with Asa, he did what was pleasing to God. And then at one point, the kingdom of Judah was attacked by Ethiopia. And in that, Ethiopia had over 1 million soldiers. And for Judah, they had about 600,000. So they were outnumbered. So Asa called out to God. And God delivered him. He defeated that army. And after that, he had several years of peace. No wars, and there was peace for Judah. And then several years later, the king of Israel invaded Judah. And at that time, instead of Asa calling back out to God, he went and he formed a treaty with another king, a king that wasn't godly. And so that king helped push out the army. But then God told Asa, because you didn't call on me, because you relied on someone else, from now on, you're going to be in constant war. So during that time of peace, it's not clear what Asa's focus was, but it was clear that he moved away from trusting in God. It may have been that things were good. There's no war and there's no issue. There's no need for God. And that is the dangerous situation that we have to avoid, putting other things, including ourselves, in a higher priority than us serving and seeking God. Higher priority that we don't need God. And that's kind of what I took away, is constantly being deliberate in conditioning and training to seeking and serving God.
And that keys right into mine. I'm going to give you a visual prop here pretty soon. But in lesson four, pastor's sermon, his scripture was 1 John 5:3-4. Loving God means keeping his commands, and his commands are not burdensome. For every child of God defeats the evil world, and we achieve this victory through our faith. And what he said, what Pastor said, was, what does real faith look like? Jesus said, faith is about what you do, not just what you say. And in Matthew 7:23, he said, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. Think about that. That's a little scary. But then he said, but only the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. So real faith is more than words. You are not seeking and you are not serving, then the devil doesn't have to worry about you sharing your faith. So my takeaway from all of that was, am I in the Word? Do I have muscle memory? So the whole thing about boxing, and Aaron, you're going to have to hold the mic. You have to come over here. Yeah. If he misses. Well, you have your mic.
What do you want me to do?
You're going to hold the mic up to us when I put these on. So we're going to do a little demonstration, and it's about muscle memory. If you practice enough, you subconsciously have muscle memory. So we're going to do a little boxing analogy.
Okay. So hold the mic to me.
So I'll hold it to Hunter. He's going to do.
I'm just going to do a simple combination of like a jab cross hook, which is using your left hand as a jab, your right hand as a cross, and then you're just hooking.
What's your accuracy like?
Pretty accurate.
Okay, good.
Now, I was thinking of having everybody stand and practice, but then I think there's a liability issue of hitting your neighbor. So we'll just forego that, okay? So tell them what you're going to do.
So I'm just doing a jab. Cross and a hook.
Oh, there it is. don't hit me.
So yeah, just jab, cross, hook. And even like when you do it, it's
hold
like,
the mic over there.
Okay. It's like a full body movement because it's like you're bringing your shoulder up to your face and you're just going boom, boom. And you're even like turning your foot whenever you do your cross. So it's.
Can everybody do that fast? So do it fast. Okay. Stop. So the analogy there is he doesn't have to think about it. So when he's he got his black belt in MMA. So when he's in a fight, he goes in the ring just like the boxers. They don't think, they just react. So the analogy is, what is your muscle? If you can do your muscle memory for your body, you can do your muscle memory for your brain, your spirit. You can do muscle memory for your spirit. And if you're in the Word every day, if you're seeking, and you're serving, and you're digging into the Word, growing your spirit, then you're creating a muscle memory. So then when the enemy attacks you, just like Jesus defeating Satan, saying, man cannot live on bread alone. Well, he can defeat by using the words of God. So the muscle memory of your mind will seek into your heart. And then you will react. So what comes out of the heart? That's what you put in. So what are we putting in? Netflix? Guilty. What am I putting in? I need to put in God's word. So that muscle memory, when I come up against an opponent, when I come up against Satan, or just my flesh, my own sin nature, I react. I hit my thumb with the hammer because I'm in construction. I don't start cussing. My first reaction, because I've taught myself from childhood, is praise the Lord anyway. And then everybody on the job site looks at me and goes, what the beep, beep, did you say? And I said, I'm praising the Lord in all circumstances because that's what's coming out of my heart. So the muscle memory of your spirit, that was the influence that got on your fourth sermon. So that's it.
Hope Church, Cressa here, representing the Schuett family. We have been enjoying Hope at Home. We've missed seeing everybody, but we've really enjoyed having the sermons and the worship at home so that we can still participate. We've had a few challenges, mainly around our young boys who make it very difficult to hear everything that's said, but we've also had a couple of fun things that we've learned about our family. Number one being that Nora's the only one that can sing, and also that we are never prepared for communion and we typically have stale bread and coffee together. So a couple of things that we've really liked about the In the Ring sermon. Number one, our favorite thing across the board was when Pastor Jim was talking about his buddy Doug that was a senior that bullied him and how Pastor Jim finally got up the courage to stand up to him and sucker punched him, essentially dead-legged him, and managed to hide from him the rest of his sophomore year. And we just thought that was so funny, just picturing Pastor Jim doing that. Another thing that Blake and I really had a lot of conversation on was when Pastor Jim was talking about what in your life says that you are seeking God. And I think we've talked about that a lot, how, you know, kind of feel like it's a little bit harder to feel like you're doing much good when you're socially distanced and you don't have a lot of interaction with people. You know, there are a lot of reports that show that child abuse and substance abuse and domestic abuse has gone up. People aren't interacting and you know, there's less, you feel like you're doing less good for people. And so that's been a question we have talked a lot about. How are we trying to seek God and how are we trying to do good? And so that's something I hope we continue to talk about and make some changes in our lives where we can have a positive impact on people. So we're still participating. We love Hope at Home. We're giving, we're doing church, we're praying for everybody, and we hope that we get to see everybody in person soon. Wear your mask. You guys wash your hands, stay safe, and we're praying for you, and hope to see you all soon.
Boy, thank you, Cressa and Junie. Cressa's a nurse on kind of the front lines in the ER and critical care, and so what a blessing to hear from them. I just want to mention one other thing to you when it comes to our series Life in the Ring, and I'm not sure that, do you know about the boxer who, before he got in the ring, he decided to throw the fight? It was a critical fight, and he thought, this fight, I'm going to throw it. I'm going to take punches, and I'm going to stand in the ring over and over again, and I'm going to get knocked down. And before he got in the ring, he made this choice. He made this choice with his coach. This is the fight I've never lost, but I'm going to choose to throw the fight. Really? When you get in the ring, you don't plan to throw a fight. And that's exactly what he chose to do. And the scripture records this in John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his son. He threw the fight. God so loved the world, he gave his one and only son that whoever would believe in him would not perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not come to send his son to condemn the world, but that the world might be saved through him. And he got beat, and he got beat again, and he got beat again, and he got beat again, and he thought he was totally done, knocked out, dead. And he came back to life. And he came back to life for you, and he came back to life for me. And I don't know what's going on in your world today, and I appreciate our elders and what they shared. And we're here to say to you that there is a purpose for your life. There is hope for your life. The one and only King of Kings chose to throw the fight. At least that's what we thought. And then he rose from the dead. That we might find life. And the scripture says that we might find it in abundance. Here's what I want you to know today. You are so loved. You are so valuable in the eyes of God. And why have we talked about life in the ring? We've talked about it because every one of us has to stand up and face life. And there is power in the name of Jesus. There is hope in the name of Jesus. But just like these great elders have said today, there's things that try to trick us into this way and that way and this way and that way to keep our focus off of the Lord. When it's all said and done, there's one person who threw the fight for you. And his name is Jesus Christ. He came that we might be saved, that we might find hope, even in hopeless times. Our anchor holds in Christ alone. And as we sing the last song this morning, I want us to focus on that. I don't want us to necessarily focus on the punishment of Christ, but I want us to focus on the fact that he threw the fight for you. That's how much you mean to him. He could have won. He didn't have to do what he did. But he did it. Why? Because he loves you so much. He cares about your life. And when things get confusing and things get hard and things get desperate, you can turn to him. And we can find hope and help in our time of need. Zach, if you'll come and the others, and let me mention what's going to happen in 2 weeks. We're going to have our outside service, and what we're going to do is, well, we didn't know what to call it, first of all. Mass on the grass, the blessings with the birds, so we didn't know. We were going to call it PPP, but then people are thinking we're giving money, you know, praise, prayer, and parking. We thought, no, we're not the loan people. And so it's just kind of church on the grass, but here's what I want you to think about. Week after that, we're going to launch into an entire new series. It's going to be super cool. But I want you to think about this. What is a verse in your life that gives you strength and hope? There's a whole Bible full of them. And maybe you're saying, you know what? I can't tell you, but for the last 70 years, this verse has meant something. Or the last 7 days, the last 7 months. And if you say, Pastor Jim, there's this verse that I love. The service out on the grass is going to be a time where we're going to pray, a time when we're going to praise, and a time where we're going to participate. You're going to be able to not touch anything unless you want to touch the microphone. Zach was great about that. He goes, I'll wipe them off before everyone touches them. I think we're good. And then I wore my own microphone so no one would touch it. Yeah, you got it. But here's the thing. We're going to let, just to say, hey, here's a verse. This verse has touched my heart. And then to say a prayer. This is an opportunity for you as a church if you'd like to participate. And all of you at home who are social distancing, you can still social distance. You just stay in your car. And here's what we're going to do on the way out. Whether some of you we haven't been able to see and we haven't been able to pray for you, on your way out, we're going to stop your car. And we're going to lay hands on your car and pray for you if you need prayer. Some of you are sick. Do you need healing? Some of you are struggling. We'll lay hands on your car. You don't even have to roll the window down. We won't breathe in the front grill. We're not going to get you sick, but we want to love on you. We want to pray for you. This is a time where all of hope can come back together for service. And I think it's going to be fun. It's not next week, it's the next week. When is that? It's August 16th. That's what I was thinking through Zach. Appreciate that. All right, here's what I want to pray for you. And I didn't mean to get, when I thought about Jesus, how can I not be emotional? That's not my intention to be up here and cry in front of you, but my goodness, what he did for us, it's too big for my heart. I don't deserve it. He did all that for me. Who throws a fight to make sure we win? Who does that? Jesus, for you and for me and for all of Hope at Home, He does that. Let me pray with you and then we'll stand together and sing this last song. Father, thank you. You're the head coach. And you said, Jesus, it's time to literally get into the ring. Go to earth, be born in a manger. Be mistrusted, be misused, be abused, be beaten. You and the coach decided to do this because we're that important. May we find hope in the ring because you authored hope. May we find strength in the mighty name of Jesus. Father, thank you for sending your one and only Son, that we would have opportunity to believe in Him. And the time when it comes, it's going to come, we will be immediately ushered into your presence and warmly welcomed into heaven because your Son threw the fight and we acknowledged it and accepted what He did for our life. God, for the friends at home, I pray that you would bless them. I pray that you would keep them. I pray, Lord, that your face would radiate about them. I pray for the friends who are here in the building. Lord, that you would be their encouragement. That you would be, as the scripture says, the lifter of our heads. That we might walk in a manner worthy of our calling because we have been called by Christ Jesus. What an honor today, God, to hear from the elders, to hear from the Schuett family, and to hear from Junie. God, thank you. Thank you that we are together in you. God, be honored as we don't just sing this song, but we actually worship during this last song. Amen.